Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
William Ryan of Institutional Investment, you have the unenviable task of, I guess, convincing people to buy right now. For years, all you had to do was answer the phone. I want to buy gold. And you say, sure. You've got to explain to Tom Keane, why does anybody want to buy gold at a time when it appears you're only going to see the investment go south, at least for a while?
It's a good question. But I think, taking a step back, the fundamental story for gold is actually pretty positive. You have a short-term supply deficit in the market, and you have a huge amount of demand coming out of particularly China and India, and the gold is literally moving from west to east. So a strong fundamental picture sort of underpinning the whole story. And really what's moving gold, obviously in the downward direction at the moment, is mainly the Fed and this talk of tapering.
But you have a lot of confidence in that statement versus other dynamics, that it's about central banks.
The fundamentals?
Yeah, the spider ETF GLD.
Yeah.
Even on a moving average basis where I'm hedging the peak is down 29%.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just grabbing a fancy moving average study. Let me put this out on Bloomberg Radio Plus. I read James Steele at HSBC very carefully yesterday about this, and everybody's singing the same tune. This is a monetary bear market.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion, particularly around the tapering, and specifically what I mean by that is we find people are sort of assuming that if tapering stops. And the asset purchase program ends, that means interest rates will rise, i.e. the Fed will start raising interest rates, but that doesn't mean that. And those are two separate things. I think that just because asset purchases may begin to slow down as the economy improves, that doesn't necessarily mean that the Fed's going to start raising interest rates.
Let me cut to the money choice right now, and I say this with great respect. Your work at Nomura years ago and with the different ETFs that you've worked with over the years, where is support on gold right now? Do you have a price in your mind where this bear market goes?
Well, I think support is clearly coming out of China. That's the most notable buyer.
Yeah, but I don't see support. I see one of the worst bear market charts I've seen in 30 years. Where are we? 1221, 1224 the ounce.
Yeah.
Do you have support at 1200 or is it 700? Where do you visualize someone with a constructive view on gold, where support comes in, and the Chinese and the Germans and the Americans say, wow, what a deal, buy it. What's that number?
We at the World Gold Council think that support for gold is pretty close to the level that it's at right now. And specifically, the way that we tie that back is thinking about the marginal cost of production for gold mining. And remember that while we think of gold as a monetary asset, and we always talk about gold in the context of monetary policy, remember that gold is a metal that's mined and there's a real cost of producing gold. And we think that where the current gold price is, that cost of production is at a level where the industry is really struggling, and we're at a level where for some of the big producers, we're at a level which is not profitable.
It's fascinating. I mean, you're with the World Gold Council. We've had a number of people on before about this. And the gold bugs, maybe they've been silenced and we're in this bear market. What is their belief? China to the rescue? Where does the buying come from? Is it cultural and almost societal? Or is this a financial transaction?
I think that people still have a very firm view that gold is a foundation asset in a portfolio.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And what that means is it's like a house. If you think about the foundations that people put in a house, you can't have a strong house without strong foundations. And so why would you own gold? Well, principally, it's for two reasons. It's for protecting purchasing power. And we specifically use the term purchasing power instead of inflation, because inflation is a concept specific to a measurement that if you're in the US, that's CPI, and that means a certain thing. If you're in the UK, it's a different measurement. But purchasing power, I think, is something that people understand as a function of currency.
Is the decline in gold a function of a belief that inflation will be lower or purchasing power will stabilize?
I think that right now it's that inflation is not here. As measured by CPI.
Right.
And a lot of people bought gold in anticipation that there would be inflation
yeah.
in the economy right now. Because that hasn't materialized, then you know we've had a very, very strong market for equities, and a lot of managers have been chasing performance.
And volatility's down and all the other things.
Yeah.
When you study at the World Gold Council, the interesting supply features and demand features, what's the number one message you would have to my listeners worldwide that we don't know about the acquisition of gold? I get so much mail on this. I get vicious hate letters from gold bugs about this. What is the character or cultural thing you observe at the World Gold Council?
Well, I think if we talk about cultural things, I mean, we're looking at something which is unique. Gold is unique. It's been around for thousands of years.
Yep. Look at the British Museum. I'm sure you've been there more than a few times.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And in 2013, we're sitting here having a conversation about a metal which has been around for 2013 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unique in that sense where you can't really, there is no other asset that has been in existence for that amount of time.
And the Chinese and the Indians believe that. The Southern Asians believe that with a vengeance.
Exactly.
Do you agree with the gold bugs that they, at the margin, can single-handedly support the market?
I don't think that the gold bugs are enough of a buying source to support the market. I mean, it's more sort of broader than that. I mean, they certainly have a strong view about gold and their emotive attachment to gold.
Sure.
But I think that for the gold market to move up or down, it's more broad than that. And we need more buying participation. And that comes from a number of different sources and sectors.
You mentioned on the break here the sudden drop yesterday. Why do sudden drops happen?
Well, specifically, we think that the majority of these sudden drops emanate from the futures market, and particularly the COMEX gold futures.
Somebody has a bet long and they cover it and go short, boom,
that's
down
right.
It goes.
And what we've seen sort of over the course of this year is really a deterioration in the net long positions that have been on the market for a number of years. And that means obviously people who are long, who are buyers of gold. Those longs have disappeared, and we're now net short on the COMEX.
I look at the ETFs, and not only with your work with World Gold Council, but you've been around ETFs for years and years, really are definitive on them. Is there a so-called convexity issue here where gold starts going down? It's a tangible asset. In any gold ETF or the GLD, the Spider Gold Shares, we should say full disclosure, Spider is one of our sponsors of Bloomberg Surveillance, but down it goes. Does it go down more rapidly because of the gold held by the fund and the dynamics of how an ETF prices?
Well, I think that first thing to say is that gold ETFs and ETFs more generally, they're really just a passive tool that enable people to take a positive or a negative view on the market. So
right.
The ETFs themselves don't actively move or manage in any way.
They don't sit at 4:10 p.m. and go, wow, what a harsh day. We got to sell so many
gold.
Ounces.
Exactly.
They don't do that.
Exactly.
What do they do? How do they price to gold without having to face that decision?
Well, if you take the GLD, for example, the GLD is backed by a specific amount of gold. It's roughly a tenth of an ounce of gold, and that's where the price is derived from. And that's why if you look at the price of GLD, it's roughly a tenth of the price of gold. And when people look to create or redeem, that means buy more shares, and therefore the trust, the GLD fund, has to create more shares to facilitate that. There has to be real gold that backs those shares moving into the trust vault before those shares get released.
In the trust vault.
Yeah.
Who buys that gold?
What we call authorized participants. And those are typically banks, market makers, that sign legal agreements with the fund, allowing them to create and redeem shares.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the ones that do the creation redemption activity on behalf of clients in the market.
Nicely explained. Within that, when we see gold moving south, in the case of the GLD, from $1,300 down to $1,118. Can there be a convexity? Can there be an acceleration downward, or when gold goes up, an acceleration upward?
It's possible, but the gold market is a significant market. There are lots of different, you know, avenues for people to buy and sell gold. I mean, there's the futures market, there's the ETF, and there's the physical.
So there's a deep enough market where this doesn't become a problem,
right,
for the ETF.
And if you look at the actual volume of people buying ETFs, I mean, it's easy to point to the ETF and say that it's big, or there's all this,
right,
because it's public. There's public data. But for the coin and bar market, the actual coin and bar market itself is growing,
mm-hmm,
and is significantly larger than the ETF. And that is kind of the main driver when we think about investment.
And in the minute that we've got left, William Ryan, I want to revisit the arch question right now. Where is support on gold? You said earlier you think we're about there. Just one person's opinion. What point will you go, ooh, I was wrong? Is it $1,000? Is that a round number?
It's hard to say when you look at it, because, you know, bear in mind that the marginal cost of production for gold on a fully costed basis is at or around where we are today. So it's difficult to see, you know, how gold can drop materially lower than
the cost
we
of
are
production
today. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's true for all commodities. That's not to say that gold can't go, but we feel like this is a, you know,
right,
bear market situation where, you know, gold is representing a buying opportunity for a lot of investors come the end of the
right
year.
Out of the blue, I got 15 seconds. Is it how cool gold is buried all over your United Kingdom? The hoards that are out there? Do you believe there's more out there in the United Kingdom?
I think
out in some field somewhere buried?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that goes to gold all over the world.
Yeah.
That, you know, we still say that all the gold that's ever been mined is still in existence.
Very good. William Ryan.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.